Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan, WFAN.
Good early morning, New York City. This is Connor Green with you on The Fan. Number to call to reach out to the show, 877-337-6666. That's 877-337-6666. That'll be the number to call throughout the show. We are with you up until 4 a.m. Mike Fliegelman will take over then. A lot of good stuff to get to you on the show today. Some NCAA tournament talk. The Mets sending down a couple of great prospects. What are the Yankees going to do with their starting rotation? And, of course, the never-ending, never-going-away Aaron Rodgers watch with the New York Jets. All that and a lot more right here on The Fan in New York City. Well, the Sweet 16 ended with a bang. The Elite Eight tonight did not, as UConn just completely blows out Gonzaga, winning by 28 points. And that was a game that I thought was going to be a heavyweight battle. UConn looked unstoppable. They had rolled through the tournament to this point. They blew out Iona 87-63, beat St. Mary's by 15 points, beat Arkansas by 20 points. But Gonzaga is a team that has been here before. They have the most wins in the NCAA tournament of any team since 2017. And I thought they would give UConn a challenge. Of course, I had Gonzaga winning my bracket. I've had them winning it for the last couple of years. I keep figuring that eventually they'll find a way to win the whole thing. But UConn in the second half just totally annihilates Gonzaga. And once Drew Timmy got into foul trouble, you knew that Gonzaga had a very small chance of making a comeback. Because he is so important to this Gonzaga team. Scored 35 points against UCLA. When he has four fouls with 17 minutes to go in the second half, and UConn is already rolling at that point, you know that for Gonzaga to come back, it would be a very, very slim chance. And UConn not only beats Gonzaga, absolutely rolls them over 82-54. And I have been saying that I think that whoever comes out of that region, the West region, is going to wind up winning the entire tournament because they had four of the top 10 ranked KenPom teams entering the tournament. UConn, Gonzaga, the defending champions, Kansas, UCLA. They had four of the best of the best teams in the NCAA tournament. And Kansas, who was the defending champion, was actually the lowest ranked team, KenPom-wise, out of that four. So I felt that whoever comes out of that region is going to win the national championship. And after watching that game and watching what UConn did to Gonzaga, who is an experienced team, has played in big moments over the last few years, they have done everything but win the national championship. They've gone to Final Fours. They've lost in the title game two times. A team that is a mid-major school that has really built themselves into a national power in the college basketball landscape. I thought they would give UConn a challenge, but watching UConn totally dismantle them and really make them look like just a mid-major school and not one of the best programs in college basketball has me convinced that nobody is beating UConn in this tournament. And Dan Hurley, give him credit, he's one of the better guys in basketball, has turned UConn back into a national power. They had a few down years there where Kevin Ollie took over for Jim Calhoun. And from about 2015 to 2018, they weren't your typical UConn Huskies. Dan Hurley takes over, and I felt once he got hired, they would eventually become one of the national powers once again. And they have done just that. It took them about 4 years, 5 years, but UConn is once again down in the Final Four and looks like a team that isn't going to get beat by anybody. And then in the earlier game, FAU, a 9 seed, takes down Kansas State. Dusty May, the head coach in FAU, a team that really profiles as a Cinderella team, but sort of plays like a team that was simply misseeded in the tournament because they have been fast and explosive. They have size with Golden in the paint. He's 7-1, had 14 points, 13 boards in the win tonight. And FAU continues to battle back in games. Against Tennessee, they battled back. FDU, they battled back. And, you know, they almost profile as a team that's not a Cinderella, and they were one of the teams that almost was hated by a majority of the country because they were the ones that took down Fairleigh Dickinson. But a 9 seed going to the Final Four, taking down Kansas State, and Marquise Noel from Kansas State dropped 30 points again. The local kid in the Garden, 30 points, 12 assists, did everything he could to try to take Kansas State to the Final Four. But FAU from Conference USA, a mid-major program, goes to the Final Four and will try to make a run here as they will get the winner of either San Diego State and Creighton. And just as a whole, this NCAA tournament, we're accustomed to seeing upsets. We're accustomed to seeing the occasional 12 seed win, a 13 seed win. But the landscape of college basketball has totally changed over the last few years. Because now you have 16 seeds on multiple occasions beating 1 seeds. Purdue was one of the best teams in the country, gets beat by FDU. You have mid-major schools making serious runs in the tournament like FAU. Gonzaga is a mid-major school that has built themselves into a national power. And the landscape of the sport has changed to allow this to happen. San Diego State's in the Elite Eight with a chance to go to the Final Four out of a mid-major conference. When you look at how college basketball operates today, number one, you have the transfer portal, which allows pretty highly recruited guys who maybe don't like the situation they're in when they leave high school. They can then enter the transfer portal, simply go somewhere else, and then it becomes very hard for some of the traditional national powers to consistently make runs in the tournament because you lose players, you have one-and-done guys, you watch a team like Kentucky, who has struggled to have tournament success of late, because you get guys on campus, they're there for one semester, they play through the college basketball season, 1 foot out the door, boom, they declare for the draft, and then you're constantly rotating different, young, highly recruited players, trying to teach them the system, trying to teach them how to play major college basketball against other Power Five teams. And it becomes really hard to have consistent success, and that's why sometimes you see upsets like you have in this tournament, where mid-major schools are making runs to the Elite Eight, FAU in the Final Four, and not a single 1 seed advanced to not only the Final Four, but to the Sweet 16 for the first time, or rather to the Elite Eight for the first time in the history of the NCAA tournament. Not a single 1 seed played in the Elite Eight. And that just goes to the changing landscape of college basketball. It's much easier now for mid-major schools, smaller programs, to compete with the elite of the elite programs in college basketball. So FAU wins, UConn blows out Gonzaga. Gonzaga is a team that has done everything over the last 20 years but win the national championship, and Mark Few is going to have to wait yet again for that to happen as they fall to UConn and not only lose, but get beat by 30 points. Tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon, you have San Diego and Creighton, and then Miami and Texas play at 5:05. My pick to win it at this point is UConn. That might be a little bit short-sighted because we just saw them destroy Gonzaga, and they have won every game by double digits. But I don't see anybody beating UConn at this point. The craziest thing about UConn is they were actually losing to Iona at the half in the first game of the tournament. 13-seeded Iona had a lead on UConn, which makes you wonder, how great is Rick Pitino? And how fast will St. John's turn into a national power with Rick Pitino as their head coach? He already said a lot of the guys that are on the St. John's campus, a lot of these basketball guys there, they're not going to be around next year. So Rick Pitino is going to bring in new talent. And St. John's, I think, immediately turns into a team that can compete in the NCAA tournament and compete for a Big East title. So if you want to talk about the NCAA tournament, 877-337-6666. That's 877-337-6666. Is your bracket still alive? Is your bracket busted? Mine is completely busted. I do not have a single Final Four team left. In my defense, who has FAU going to the Final Four? I don't think very many people did, but my bracket is busted. We'll see who winds up winning the whole thing. But my pick will be UConn. Turning to the New York Yankees, there was big news today. You know, the NCAA tournament is all about survive and advance. And right now, the Yankees simply have to survive and advance. Because earlier today, it comes out that, yet again, Luis Severino is banged up, will likely open the season on the IL, has a right lat strain. And this comes on the heels of Carlos Rodon going down with an injury and Frankie Montas going down needing arthroscopic surgery. He's probably going to miss the entire year. So a couple of months ago, you really felt the Yankees had possibly the best rotation in baseball, possibly the deepest rotation in baseball. Their rotation now on opening day will be Gerrit Cole, Clark Schmidt, Nestor Cortez, Domingo Herman, and a AAA pitcher named Johnny Brito, who I had never heard of until today. I saw the injury news break and I said, who is going to be the Yankees' fifth starter? It's apparently the front runner is Johnny Brito, who's a 25-year-old. He's been in the Yankees minor league system since 2016. He is apparently the guy that's going to fill the fifth spot in the rotation. So the Yankees at this point simply have to survive and advance past April and mid-May, because you have your three guys that you were relying on to be starting pitchers not around for the start of the season. Harrison Bader will not be ready till early May, mid-May, which means you're going to have IKF possibly start in center field on opening day. Normally, when you get excited for the first baseball game of the season, you're excited for either the Yankees or, if you're a Mets fan, to get their roster together, go out for the big ceremony. You get excited for the opening day ceremonies. You have hopes of a World Series run. And the Yankees obviously still have a chance to make a World Series run. But when you look at the beginning of the season, you go from having all sorts of optimism to now feeling like the Yankees just have to not fall behind in the AL East in the first month of the season. Because when you have Clark Schmidt, Domingo Herman, and possibly Johnny Brito making three out of your five starts every 5 days, it might be a little difficult for the Yankees to get out to a hot start in the AL East. And they may fall behind a few games because you're relying on pitchers that you really didn't think you were going to be relying on. Clark Schmidt's going to start their second game of the season. Domingo Herman, who was really shaky last year, is going to make a lot of starts in April. And sometimes problems like this don't really have any legitimate solution. Because I've heard, you know, some people think that the Yankees should trade Gleyber Torres and try to find a starting pitcher from another team. But when you're this close to opening day, it's going to be really hard for the Yankees to find a team that is willing to deal one of their starting pitchers. And ideally, you're going to want someone who would be a fairly high-impact starter to replace Luis Severino, who, when he's healthy, is a great starter. It's going to be hard to find a team 5 days before opening day that is going to be willing to trade one of their starters, in particular because Gleyber Torres is a decent piece of trade bait, but Gleyber Torres is not that same guy in 2019 who was 23 years old and hit 38 home runs for the Yanks. So I don't know what the market really would be for Gleyber Torres. And at the same time, the Yankees are hoping that Anthony Volpe and Oswald Peraza will be their middle infield for the foreseeable future, but you still don't really know what you're going to get from those guys, and I think you shouldn't just rush to deal Gleyber Torres because you need a starting pitcher for a month and a half or a month. So I think what's going to likely happen is the Yankees are going to have to make do with what they have, which is a makeshift starting rotation. Their bullpen is going to have to pitch major innings early in the year, and they might not get out to the most red-hot start to begin this season, but the Yankees just have to survive and advance. And to me, when things like this happen, when things start to go wrong, you should be more likely to possibly take a risk, which means the Yankees should absolutely have Anthony Volpe be the starting shortstop on opening day. At this point, you kind of feel like, what do you have to lose? They might struggle a little bit early on anyway, and the Yankees need all the offense they can get. Volpe is hitting .314 in spring training with 1,000 OPS in 51 at-bats, almost hits for the cycle earlier today, gets two hits off of a great pitcher in Aaron Nola. To me, he has proven that he has the ability to hit major league pitching. And the Yankees are going to need offense early in the year because three of their starting pitchers are out. And Anthony Volpe in spring, we all understand it's spring, but he has looked like as good as advertised in spring. And he's young, he's 21 years old, but he is as good as advertised thus far. And if you're going to make the move, I think you make the move. And I think right now there's a little bit of a debate going on within the Yankees front office as to what they want to wind up doing. But I think at this point you have to be leaning towards having Anthony Volpe be the starting shortstop on opening day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.